It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
Love to hear your phone call as you join us here today with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell & Collins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, today Wes and I are going to talk about some twists and turns with regard to the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the power of attorney in past programs, but let's begin, of course, once again with the definition. Mm-hmm. Power of attorney is a grant of legal authority to an agent to handle your affairs, your legal financial affairs, bank account, real property, mm-hmm. vehicle titles, boat titles, insurance claims, filing tax returns, doing anything of a financial nature for what is many times known as the principal by the agent.
Right. Okay.
Now, all of us should have a power of attorney. All mm-hmm. of us, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, right on up, 70s, we all need a power of attorney because any of us could be in an accident.
Right.
We could have
right.
a sudden onset of an illness, stroke, aneurysm, things that we don't like to talk about, but mm-hmm. they happen in this thing called life.
Right.
And therefore, then our loved one or trusted agent would need to have the authority to act for us. If you do not have a power of attorney, Ben, and you need someone to act for you, then unfortunately, the only alternative is to have a guardianship mm-hmm. proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very involved proceeding. Most of those are handled at our office by Wes. They are really kind of quasi court proceeding litigation cases to a certain extent because mm-hmm. one has to go before the court and prove that there is a need and that the elements of the guardianship exist. Time consuming, expensive, okay?
Right.
Power of attorney, on the other hand, is a legal document, 10, 12 pages long, prepared by a good lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and signed and is, probably less than $100 most places,
mm-hmm.
okay, recorded for $26 at the Register of Deeds.
Right.
So now that's some background information. Where we want to go today, Ben, is that, okay, our good client has a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
When does it become active?
Yeah.
And that is that is the question of the day.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's the $1 million question, okay?
Okay, because it is. It's one of those things that I think puzzle a lot of people.
Yes, it does.
Different kinds of powers of attorney.
Let's start by saying it certainly becomes active when the principal turns to the agent, when the father, if you will, or mother, turns mm-hmm. to their son or daughter, if those are the case, and says, son, I just can't handle this anymore. Will you please start handling this for me?
Mm-hmm.
So the principal voluntarily and in a happy mode, if you will,
mm-hmm.
establishes the activation of the power of attorney. This happens a lot.
Right.
I would say, Wes, that that's probably most of the cases.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most of the case.
It's voluntary.
It's just
voluntarily.
Yeah, voluntary. And the family understands that
mm-hmm.
it's time for, the agent to take over the affairs of their elder parent.
I think the question mm-hmm. that comes up a lot that I hear is this for a season or is this permanent when this happens?
Well, that's a good question. Because the bottom line is that a power of it does the agency relationship does not have to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
People do recover from an illness. We have
sure.
files where folks have been in these accidents that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and that there is a temporary need for an agent to handle affairs, and then thank goodness they recover. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
An elder person goes in for a surgery and it doesn't necessarily go well, but 6 months, a year later, they are recovering. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what has once been activated can be deactivated.
Right. Okay.
But again, the most common factual scenario is that these nuances are by agreement.
Right.
Okay. By consensus. Mm-hmm. And isn't that nice when that happens? And those are the files that we don't necessarily have to hear about.
Okay, just quickly, the difference between the durable power of attorney and healthcare power of attorney, mm-hmm. they're not one and the same.
Yeah, no, they are not. We're talking today about the financial power of attorney, and of course, that is very different than a health care appointment. Mm-hmm. The health care appointment power of attorney is simply going to appoint our agent for the purpose of signing for surgery, anesthesia, diagnostic procedures, anything having to do with our health care.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And very different.
Very different.
Okay. So
it does not have to be recorded, for instance. Does not really have to be activated. It just simply exists. And, of course, if the principal cannot sign the consent forms at the hospital, mm-hmm. which, of course, are necessary, as we all know,
right.
the admission papers, et cetera, then the agent would do it for them, their health care power, their health care agent.
Okay. But when we talk about the durable power of attorney, the power of attorney over a person's financial affairs.
Right.
It sounds all happy and wonderful right. and in agreement, but sometimes that doesn't happen.
Let's talk about some of the other facts.
All right, what happens?
One of the other factual scenarios is that the agent, the principal, that is, excuse me, just doesn't think that anyone needs to have any authority. Mm-hmm. They have a power of attorney, but I'm still doing fine. Mm-hmm. I can drive. I can handle my accounts. That call that I got from wherever about the $3 million lottery, if I send them $5,000, I'm going to get $3 million in 3 weeks. I have an appointment, by the way, on that one tomorrow.
Really?
Okay. That is also a scenario. In other words, I don't know that I explained that well. Wes, help me out there on explaining that factual that particular factual scenario that we see a lot.
Well, first of all, it's a shame that we see that as somewhat of a cycle. It shows up every once in a while. Yeah, it's the elderly folks who get taken advantage of by, you know, the random caller that tells them they've won the lottery and all they have to do is pay the taxes and the release fee and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're in a situation where they have to send, you know, maybe start with a couple $100. Let's start with that, and then we'll see what we need to do next. And next thing you know, they've sent $10,000 based on the promise that they will receive this grand prize mm-hmm. of $2 million, $3 million, whatever it may
be.
And it never comes. So, you know, that sometimes spins us into a position where, you know, obviously we've got to sit down and talk with our parent, if mm-hmm. that's who it is, a grandparent, whoever it may be, and let them know that they're being duped.
Yeah. But
sometimes it ends up going into a guardianship situation.
Yeah. We're going to go there. So in other words, Ben, you know, granddaddy's driving. He shouldn't be.
Right.
Granddaddy is trying to hold on to his accounts, but he's not doing it. The mail is stacked up. It's all over everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have any idea, you know, whether CDs have matured.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't file his tax return. Thinks he did, mm-hmm. but didn't. And yet when I approach daddy, when I approach granddad, you know, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be worried about my affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quit bothering, quit getting into my business. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, how dare you? You know, I've been doing this for a lifetime. You know, now they have a power of attorney, Ben.
Yeah.
They have a document.
Right.
And the agent, the son, the agent, the person involved in their life is trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But the principal is putting up, you know, the fight. Okay. So now Wes is exactly right. What's going to happen here is there's going to have to be a
guardianship.
Well, we start with kind of an intervention,
right.
which is what's happening tomorrow in our office with an elder gentleman, with their family, who thinks that we just simply need granddad to put some structure around your assets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The lottery isn't real, granddad. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't file your tax return. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're not opening the mail. And can we help you in some way? And let's try to have some sort of intervention, if you will.
You know, it's really a blessing that they are coming in because I think
sometimes the lawyer, by the way, you know, the paralegals and the secretaries at the law firm are so wonderful. And it's interesting because they'll come in and speak to Wes or myself and they'll say, you know, Mr. Collins, you know, Miss so-and-so, you know, was so hostile, but when you talk to her, wow, yeah. She's just like, you know, whipped butter. You know, you could tell her to do, you know. So in other words, yeah. What I anticipate tomorrow, because I know this gentleman, he's very kind-hearted mm-hmm. to me and me to him. And I think he will go along with some structure tomorrow.
He needs that third party.
But, yeah. but needs really. That third party.
Right.
But, you know, that granddaughter over in Beaufort and he lives over here in Newport, that's just not quite working out, okay? So we'll talk with him tomorrow and I bet we're able to get some good result for him. But if we cannot mm-hmm. and if the circumstances begin to deteriorate to the point yeah. that we have a loss of estate mm-hmm. monies, financial,
right.
a real breakdown in health, mm-hmm. safety, okay.
Yeah, things could
things
become
of
dangerous.
That nature,
yeah.
dangerous.
Yeah.
Then at that point, unfortunately, that principle, even though there is a power of attorney, mm-hmm. is forcing the family into, yes, the guardianship proceeding.
I think one mm-hmm. of the things I want to say is that the blessing that they're coming in is that you're going to be able to bring up the whole legal ramifications here. Instead, a lot of people avoid the lawyer by saying, oh, well, I'll just put my son or daughter on my accounts,
mm-hmm.
And they'll help pay the bills, and I'll take care, and I'll do my other things. They avoid the power of attorney okay. because they think that it's going to just be too expensive, it's going to be too time-consuming to do, and again, as you said, you demystified that well at the beginning, mm-hmm. saying it's really not a onerous procedure at all. It's easy to do.
No, it is, and
but if that family had not done that,
we've talked about on the program before yeah. that. And let me just say it very quickly because you brought it up. It is a side issue, a great side issue. But, you know, adding your son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson, your agent, your sister, your brother to your account is not necessary. So many people think it is so that they can, quote, pay my bills, mm-hmm. okay? Well, they can pay your bills through the registered power of attorney without becoming the owner on the account,
right.
okay? So placing your loved one as an owner on your account is dangerous because most likely that account will pass to that one child.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, that could likely, create different circumstances than the last will and testament, which divides things equally between the children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yet that one account for $100,000 is in the name of, you know, the parent and the one child. This is a problem. Okay.
All right, we'll have more to come in a moment. If you'd like to ask a question, because many do arise out of this subject, you can call us at 247-7282 and ask your question of Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins from Harbell and Collins. You can go online at harbellandcollins.com and listen to past shows. Hey, welcome back to the program. Good to have you with us here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. And as always, on Tuesday mornings, Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, taking your questions at 247-7282.
So back in focus, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the principal who is just simply not cooperating with the agent.
Mm-hmm.
They do not feel that it's time to activate the power of attorney, even though it exists.
Mm-hmm.
They are not allowing the agent to begin to organize the financial affairs of their loved one. There's a big pushback from the principal. What we do with these files is we talk with the client as best as possible on mm-hmm. multiple occasions, and we try to help mediate, if you will, and explain the need to for there to be some assistance,
mm-hmm.
okay? And hopefully, slowly but surely, we can move in that direction. Let's keep in mind that everything that we as lawyers do just with life, you know, it's a process. I draw that out on the diagram every single day, you know, mm-hmm. a timeline. Mm-hmm. We're on a timeline here. Your grandparent is going to continue, unfortunately, to decline.
Yeah.
You know, it might be 6 months, 9 months, a year.
Happens to us all.
But it happens to all of us. And mm-hmm. we will get to a point where, you know, they will allow you to be their agent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what the risks are right now of, you know, and it depends. I mean, goodness gracious, if they're writing out $10,000 checks to lottery callers, then yes. we've got a problem.
Right.
Okay. All right.
It might manifest itself differently. Like I'm with my mom, it was QVC.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Spending a lot of time on that.
Yeah. So if for some reason there really is risk and we're at a situation that is deteriorating, then we are going to be forced into a guardianship. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about the guardianship from a power of attorney perspective is it's not that the power of attorney just simply goes away. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wes, you tell us about that. The clerk of court does look at the power of attorney.
Right. So when you end up in a guardianship situation, it may be necessary for the court to determine whether the power of attorney is in fact revoked by order of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be necessary to keep the power of attorney in place for certain like carve-outs, things that the power of attorney will allow you to do, but in a guardianship, you would have to go through a more significant proceeding like a petition before the Superior Court judge to sell real property, do these type things.
Mm-hmm.
So that issue sometimes when you're in the guardianship proceeding is front and center before the clerk of court, so he or she can consider whether we're going to have the power of attorney still in place and still have the guardianship. But when you do that, you almost always have the same agent. The guardian is going to be the same as the attorney, in fact, or agent under the power of attorney. Because in the event that you have someone else acting under the power of attorney, maybe there was a power of attorney that was entered potentially under undue influence, or the person who was named the agent kind of mm-hmm. forced themselves into that position.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to have someone else acting as the guardian, because then you've got, you know, you don't have, you know, an equal playing field with regard to who has the power to mm-hmm. handle the affairs for this particular person. So under our statutes, the clerk does have that authority to consider that. Sometimes the clerk will do that on his or her own motion. And sometimes one of the attorneys will, you know, if their attorney's involved, will bring that issue up for the clerk to consider. So, but statutorily, the clerk has that authority to enter that type of order.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that the power of attorney is that stepping stone or that arrow in your quiver when you go to a guardianship proceed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's language in a good power of attorney that indicates that in the event that I'm adjudicated incompetent at some point in time, then it's my preference for so and so. Usually, you know, mm-hmm. really every time the power of attorney who I've named herein, mm-hmm. you know, to serve as my guardian. So that is kind of works part and parcel with the North Carolina General Statutes, which refers to a document such as that, where it basically gives direction to the clerk of court that, you know, this is a strong requirement for you to consider a document such as this that the principal entered previously relative to who should mm-hmm. be the actual guardian.
Okay. All right. Coming back after this break, we'll take a look a little bit more at the power of attorney and its activation and what that means. And your questions are still welcome at 247-7282. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, talking about the power of attorney. I think one question I had for you is, guys, is the a lot of people believe that once they've signed over a power of attorney, they don't have any control. They can't do anything without the permission of the other person.
That's just not accurate. Okay, mm-hmm. There can be coordination. There mm-hmm. really can be. You know, granddad, you go ahead and handle your checking account and mm-hmm. pay these bills. I'll help you sign the check every month, but I'll handle your tax return.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Something comes in the mail from the IRA or the CD and the whatever, and there's consultation about that between the principal and the, well, dad, I'll go handle that for mm-hmm. you. I've got your power of attorney. The bank's got that on record. I'll go renew that CD for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there can be coordination. There are a lot of files like that. Now, Ben, before we run out of time, the third factual scenario, number one, mm-hmm. they cooperate. Mm-hmm. Number two, they don't cooperate. Number three, there's a third one, which is that the agent, unbeknownst to the principal, takes it upon themselves mm-hmm. to just simply act.
Self-activate.
Okay, self-activating an act without mm-hmm. you, if you will, the consent of the principal. Mm-hmm. This is a real problem. Okay, they go and start changing the accounts, many times doing what we just talked about, adding themselves to the account. Mm-hmm. Okay, that way the account goes to them when they die, contrary to what the will says. So the agent is out there acting pursuant to the power of attorney, but doing things that the principal is not aware of and many times not consistent with the principal's last will and testament. We see, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. a lot of files like this.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons that the banking institutions and financial institutions, you know, your Merrill Lynch's,
sure.
Edward Jones, whoever it happens to be, you know, they're very circumspect now about durable powers of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see the language. They want to see the specificity. They want to see that they're recorded. Banks now, well, you'll take a power of attorney in and they'll tell you, well, we'll give you, our legal counsel needs to review this document and we will be back to talk to you tomorrow or the next day. Okay, this is happening a lot now because, unfortunately, this third scenario that I just mentioned, where the agents are acting ultra vires outside the scope of the intention of the principal, are all too common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, not having that clear discussion about when this is activated and that clear permission from the agent.
That is a breach of fiduciary duty.
Yeah.
The agent is in a fiduciary duty to the principal to act in the best interest of the principal, consistent with the moccasins of the principal.
Mm-hmm.
This is many times what we say. The agent needs to step into the shoes of the principal and do what the principal would have them do.
Mm-hmm.
And no self-dealing, please.
Yeah.
Okay? No reestablishing of accounts in your own name, changing beneficiaries on IRAs
mm-hmm.
and on annuities.
Paying
your own bills off, okay? Mm-hmm. Updating the car for granddad, but guess who drives it?
Yeah, right. All right, again, those are lots of great issues, and you may still have other questions. You can get answers at the folks with Harvell and Collins, attorneys of law. You can call them for a free consultation, and also you can go online and listen to past shows. A lot of these things that come up in other shows as well, too. So go online at harvellandcollins.com or give them a call at 726-905.